Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it. If you enjoyed, stay tuned for the Ultra Moments segment coming up later in the episode. And we got a packed one for you here, talking all you need to know about the Brooklyn Nets. Buddy, hit us with the beats.
Of course, as the NBA Finals continue on, we turn our attention to the other basketball that'll get played, and that is the Olympics, where Kevin Durant's going to be a part of it. But what does it mean, one, for other players that are trying to reestablish their talent and their value around the league? Some of these superstars coming together to play an iron sharpen iron mentality, get better in their own games. And even just the dedication of NBA players willing to immediately turn themselves around and join the Olympic push for gold this offseason in July.
All of that. And is Kevin Love going to be a Brooklyn Net when this is all said and done? Oh, we got to talk about it. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn, yo. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I'm Doug Norrie. Got you covered if you need any projections for FanDuel or DraftKings over there on DFSR.com as we roll through the NBA championships. And then that is Adam Armbrecht, keeping New York City locked down as the host of the One Giant Podcast, also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets over on Sportscaster. Buddy, how we doing as we roll through the offseason? Got a lot to talk about today, though.
Oh, there's plenty to talk about, Dougster. Not only is it obviously Game 2 will be coming up later tonight for the NBA Finals, see how the Bucks bounce back there. But then from a Nets perspective, and even just from a basketball perspective, Team USA has got their scrimmage action going on as they prepare for the Olympics later this month when they'll get, I think, the 25th, get their first official game against France underway. But it actually got me thinking, too, about when you look at, because it has, you got Kevin Love there. We mentioned him a little bit yesterday coming off of some injuries over the last decade or so, it feels like, for him. But Dame Lillard, where is he going to maybe end up going from Portland? Kevin, you got Kevin Durant coming off of his season, finally back into action. Like, it got me thinking that if you're going to go do that, you just have to purely love basketball. Because
oh, yeah.
You and I have talked about, like, even finishing the regular season and the postseason for the Nets. You know, there's a world where, and this is just a little bit of a pat on our own backs too, we love the podcast because we went right from the postseason and said, no, we're going to keep doing 5 days a week. There's plenty of things to talk about. It's not nearly the same physical strain, although I think we were a little tired this morning getting this thing rolling. But the idea of going from a condensed 72-game season and a postseason for a lot of these guys that are on Team USA and then going right back into grinding out another however many games the Olympics may go for Team USA, you assume pretty deep by the talent alone. It's just, it's intense, man. Like, this has been a long couple of years for NBA players in a lot of ways, and yet most of these dudes are like, oh yeah, of course, Team USA basketball, I'm 100% in. And I don't know if that's, they like playing with one another and mixing it up that way, if there's any level of playing for Team USA as a sense of pride. Popovich is again on the coaching staff. Like, even Greg Popovich is turning it right around at his age and saying, yeah, I finished my Spurs season, I go right into NBA basketball or Olympic basketball because this is essentially my 24/7, 365.
Yeah, I think we saw that with Kevin Durant in his interviews leading up to the season, and we talked about this a few times in the podcast already, where he talks about, oh, you know, I think that the best question from the whole entire offseason was, what hobbies did you pick up while you were in rehab? And Kevin Durant looks, it was on a Zoom call because it was like the beginning of the season, looks at the Zoom kind of camera in the most curious way possible, takes a few seconds, and then says, no hobbies. I was rehabbing. I was like, who has time, to put together model airplanes, or, you know, who has time to learn, you know, croquet? Like, this is, I'm rehabbing basketball. Like, I don't know anything. I thought it was the most telling, you know, quote that he had maybe ever, I thought, because it was just so obvious at that moment that for at least him, it was basketball or bust. And that was just all it is. So it's surprising, not surprising, right? To see these guys go off basically the second the season ends, a grinding season for a lot of these guys, KD especially through the playoffs, and you know, Dame's got whatever he's got, you know, leading into Portland this year, and to see them, yeah, I just don't think they know any other way, and I think that's how you sort of ascend to the mountaintop of your profession, really for any profession, right? Is that you? I was gonna say sacrifice, but that's the wrong word because I don't know these guys personally. You just have this at the forefront of your mind in all things. And if there's going to be a situation where it's the NBA and you can go off and play, you know, a full season and be at the top of your game there, great. If all the other best guys are going to get together from around the world and play over the summer, you're going to go do that too. I mean, not everybody, but it seems like almost everyone that was sort of invited went and played this year.
Yeah.
Right? Harden was invited, but he's choosing to rehab instead, and smart. I think for some of these other guys, it's injury issues, and you know, clearly there's still dudes that are still playing. I'm sure Giannis is going to play for Greece, and these other guys, I'm not sure if Chris Paul and Devin Booker were invited. I should have looked at that ahead of time. But the point being is that it's not surprising that you get these guys that go off and go do this, because I think this is just, yeah, it's fun slash better ways for them to get better, and they have sort of one track minds for the most part, but you know, this is just what their core focus, and I think they probably just see it as a chance to get better too. You know, with Pop, like you said, with Pop playing against the best competition, playing for your country, I think there's a lot of other motivations beyond just feeling called to just play basketball that makes them want to go.
Yeah, well, and just quickly, because you know, you mentioned, it's funny that Booker actually will be here for Team USA, or there for Team USA. He's been named onto the roster, as has Chris Middleton, and as has Drew Holiday, guys that are currently playing in the NBA Finals, and then also are potentially going to be key contributors to what USA Basketball does. So the level of commitment that some of these guys have to playing in bonus basketball, extra basketball beyond the NBA, it's certainly impressive. And the other one, you know, we mentioned it at the top, and you just said a potential recruiting tour over in these games and in these sessions, because you do get a chance to experience other players in a different way than when you see them on the opposite side of the court throughout the NBA season. I know some of these guys do get together even in the offseason and play some pickup games or shoot around or work out together, but these end up being real basketball games where you get to get a sense of what your rhythm might be with someone. And, you know, listen, the rumors, the speculations, we had a fan bring it up at one point a little while back around, would Kevin Love be a fit? That's one of the speculations now around the Nets. When you talk about players that could potentially maybe get themselves an in with a Kevin Durant, who it's already been reported is showing great leadership over in the sessions. And I think that he's clearly the alpha on this team of alpha players from the NBA. What does Kevin Love resonate with you, or what can he do for himself in one of these sessions over the course of time with the Olympics? Can he ingratiate himself to Durant in any way where when a buyout potentially comes from the Cavs, when he all of a sudden finds himself on the open market, that Durant just goes to the Nets and says, like, hey, listen, just like last year, like a Blake Griffin, like even in the ahead of the season when you go after a Jeff Green, this guy is going to fit in with us. This guy can be a nice size and length and XYZ, and maybe in spite of some of his limitations at this point of his career.
Yeah, well, this has become the new topic for the Nets fan, right? This has become, and it's not out of nowhere. There's precedent for it, obviously, from last season, and there's actually even people reporting it. We'll get to that in a second. There's people reporting that this is a part of it. I think if you look at the rest of this roster on the U.S. basketball team, if you look at statistically from everyone else and sort of what they had and the roles in their team, Kevin Love does seem to stand out from the rest of the group in terms of was not like on the level of what these guys on the rest of this team sort of put together last year. I think that's not in contention. I think it's pretty obvious, right? And not to say he doesn't deserve it. It's just like he's an interesting addition to the USA team basketball roster based on sort of what we saw from the rest of this group last year. And if you don't know, like, just let me just read you the names and see what I mean by here about the rest of the roster. It's KD, we just mentioned Booker, Bradley Beal's there, Bam Adebayo, Jeremy Grant, Draymond, Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine, Dame, then Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum. And I think like any which even lay basketball fan would look at that list and be like, huh, Kevin Love, huh? But if there's a reason for it, and if there was a sort of a push to get him there to sort of revitalize his career and maybe showcase him for some other teams, which I think is possibly a big part of it. I think it's gonna make a lot of sense. I'm gonna get to that here in a second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Michelob Ultra. It's a tough choice here for the Ultra Moment of the Week. I'm going to say the Ultra Moment of the Week is Kevin Love joining USA Team Basketball. You can already see it, folks. This guy wants to revitalize the career, make a comeback in a big way, play with some of the superstars. Used to be a superstar, trying to get back to that level again, playing with the joy, happiness, and enjoyment you love to see. I think we're going to see a lot of big things from Kevin Love. I almost said Kevin Durant. The Kevins, Kevin Love and Kevin Durant during these Olympic basketball trials and then ultimately the tournament. Go check out the other exciting Ultra Moments with the hashtag Ultra Moment over on Twitter. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. Kevin Love joining USA Team Basketball, the Ultra Moment of the Week.
You know, it's actually crazy, too, though, because you're mentioning about Kevin Love and looking at this roster. But even in looking at it, too, I just started to think about, you've got a guy like Draymond Green who kind of retooled himself this past year. But, you know, he feels like he's the veteran guy and he's a great glue guy to have on a USA roster. OK, great. But you have like Durant and Dame Lillard, and now you'll see what Booker does in the finals, and he seems to be ascending. But the blend here, just in general terms of the USA roster, with some of the young stars that are coming up, some of the very well established, and then even a couple of guys like, I mean, you know, does Jeremy Grant and Zach LaVine, do they kind of stick out as being odd ducklings on this roster? Maybe not because they're not good players, but I don't think I would label either one of them as, you know, superstars in the league. But this is a great chance for them probably to rub elbows with all these other guys and maybe pick up some, you know, little tips and tricks. And even a Jason Tatum is an interesting one to me. After the season that he went through, he dealt with some COVID related stuff that he felt like he never fully got himself up and running. So maybe it's in the vein of still getting his body back into full basketball shape ahead of next year. But also, like, he knows that coming into what could be a big year in Boston now with a, you know, changing Brad Stevens moving into the front office, like, storyline wise, you could probably go through every single player here and say, well, here's an interesting reason why them being on the USA roster could be fascinating, and why when you get to the offseason, especially even say Kevin DeLove, I'm going to get these guys together, the Kevins, Kevin Love, why. If you look at the other teams that are represented through these players here, Kevin Love's probably showcasing himself to a lot of different rosters. Like, maybe Boston even is an opportunity for him. Maybe depending on what goes on in Portland, it could be a possibility. Like, he's going to have the chance to send back the best player from a lot of teams around the league and have them say, hey, you know what? I know Kevin was banged up and he's a little bit older, but he looked pretty good for us over this run in the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the key. I think that, like, the fact, like, again, that he's built up a cachet within the NBA, in the NBA circle, so it's not out of nowhere. He's been a really good player for a long time. It has not been good over the last couple of years. He's also been languishing on a very bad team, so it's sometimes hard to know. I mean, we saw this with Blake Griffin, right? It's hard to know exactly what's left in the tank when you play on a bottom-feeding, tanking, maybe poorly run team. Right, we just saw this. We literally just saw this. Totally different kind of player, but we just saw the same exact idea happen with Blake Griffin, who basically transformed himself into sort of like a winning, totally different kind of basketball player, basically overnight by just switching teams and coming to the Nets. Right, and I think there's probably some kind of thought around the league, especially or at least with Kevin Love, if he looked at this and said, you know, I have an opportunity to sort of just reshape the last third of my career here. One way to do it is to go play with these guys now, like you said, show that I still have something, showcase myself. And it's not like only these guys. I mean, everyone's going to be watching this, right? They're going to want to know, because the Kevin Love stuff looked pretty bad over the last year. The injuries, and there was sometimes some teammate stuff, frustrations and other stuff that happened. And again, this isn't without precedent. Like, Brian Lewis from the New York Post wrote a whole article about this yesterday that basically talks about or excuse me, 2 days ago, talks about interviewing Kevin Love and just talking about where he kind of sees himself. And he has an interesting quote. He says, I understand going, this is Kevin Love, going into my 14th season, that being the number one guy playing 35 minutes, getting 20 touches a game is probably in my rear view. But how I can affect the team and the feeling and feeling how I'm feeling now, I know that I can do it on a very high level. I don't try to put a ceiling or limit on myself. So long as I'm feeling good, I know I'm going to play good. But the part where he says, I know that I don't need to be that guy anymore, right? Like, I don't need to be, because you got to remember, like, even going back before his days in Cleveland, this guy was like a 26-12 dude. Like, this guy, the teams weren't very good, but this guy was just a stat machine. 26-13 he put up in 2011-2012. He was an absolute stat machine. It changed for him when he got to Cleveland. It was kind of more standing in the corner, waiting for LeBron to feed him the ball. The rebound, they really, the rebound they kind of maintained, but not as at such a high level. But yeah, the chance to, for them to him to go in here, there's like not a, there's not a, it's not a mistake that these stories are being written and he's saying these things. It's part of the same thing. I commend it. He's trying to, like I said, reshape the last third of his career, and it's why Nets fans have all of a sudden become very excited about the. No, Nets fans became really excited about the buyout market really fast for a team that didn't care about this forever. Like, the buyout market is now the hottest topic for the Nets fan, and rightfully so, because that is going to be how they likely add talent in during the season, or prior to the season, but probably not. And Kevin Love's like the next prime example of a guy who could get bought out and then go to a team like the Nets who were trying to win a championship.
Yeah, Blake Griffin is just, he was the aperitif of enthusiasm around the buyout market for Brooklyn Nets fans. If that hadn't occurred this past season the way that it did for Blake, maybe Nets fans don't look at Kevin Love and this potential possible scenario as being, you know, the most interesting thing or intriguing or something. You go, boy, the Nets really need to take a look at this player. But quickly, as we talk about our road to the finals and our NBA playoff coverage that's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, which is only worth it if you enjoyed it, 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. I will say, if I had to give a little prediction around it, like I think, I'm not going to say it's going to be on the Nets, because there's going to be a bevy of options that we're going to get into as the offseason moves along, both, and you kind of mentioned it there, things that could happen in the offseason and things that could happen during next regular season. So not every veteran is going to be a thing where they move on prior to the year and the Nets can get their hands on him. It could be the Blake Griffin scenario, buyout, and then get him over on a veteran minimum and make sure that the cap and all the numbers and moving parts all line up. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Love is on a playoff, potentially championship contending team next season. I think that could be somewhat close, barring an injury for him at some point along the way here. If he looks healthy playing in the Olympics, then I think he's going to be on one of the top five or six teams that is in contention for an NBA championship next year, because he does still bring a lot of quality to a roster. And you mentioned about where he was in the early stages of his career being a double-doubles machine, but now his game is different, and if healthy, he does represent size and length, perimeter shooting. The defense is obviously going to be whatever it's going to be, but when you put a player like that onto an already solid, already championship caliber team, suddenly the holes and the flaws in the game, just like Blake Griffin, those things get diminished. You don't notice those as much because you have so much talent around them, and you're asking players like this to do just a very specific, small, niche kind of role.
Oh, 100%. And I'm going to say a couple of things here, too. There's a couple differences. I'm going to get to this in a second. There are a couple differences, more than a couple differences, between Blake Griffin and Kevin Love that don't make it a one-to-one situation here. But I agree with you that, like, it's going to be looked at in a really favorable light. But here in a second, I'll get to what some of those differences are, maybe, like, what a season like this and even this Olympic trial could look like for Kevin Love. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Oh my God, the makes and the models of these cars are so many. It can be feeling totally impossible to figure out what exactly you need, especially if you go into the local chain auto parts store. They disappear into the back. They come back with the unmarked box. You don't know what kind of price you're getting. You don't know if they just made it up on the spot. Sometimes it feels like that. That's why you need Rock Auto. You're going to save time and money, two of the most important things out there. you're going to spend 30, even 50% less than some of those local parts stores. And forget the dealerships or the mechanics, folks. You can't even start with the prices there. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer. You search by make and model in their drop-down menu. It's easy as 1, 2, 3. Go explore their website right now to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section so they'll know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, hit me with your because there isn't a one-to-one comp thoughts, and I have this Olympics roster. I think there are a handful of guys that are kind of in the same grouping as Kevin Love as far as what they want to accomplish here. And then there's also these other tiers, though, about what players' goals may be as they head into this Olympic run.
Okay, so one of the differences is that Blake Griffin didn't get to play on the Olympic team with all these other guys, right? So, like, the part where...
he didn't elevate his profile.
Exactly, right? Like, he was coming off a season where he was injured. It looked like he had nothing left in the tank. There was no real chance to showcase what he had left. The Nets were kind of taking a chance on that, right? This is like, if Kevin Love kind of balls out in the Olympics here, and I gotta be honest, he's probably an end of the bench guy. They've been talking up a good game with this. I read you the names of the guys that are on the rest of this list. I don't know how much playing time he's actually going to see because, again, like, the rest of this group is basically all superstars or superstar 1As in the league right now. And I think Kevin Durant's not, or God, every time, can't do this. We need this guy, one of these guys, to change their names. Can't do two Kevins on the same podcast.
Carl Love.
So I think it's one situation, like, he's getting this opportunity. Blake never would have gotten that opportunity. So I think that's one key difference. The other key difference is that if for some reason he were to play well, the Cavs might not be as incentivized to buy him out because his value goes up. So it's this weird, it's like sort of like a weird double-edged sword here. If the value goes up, the Cavs aren't just going to want to buy him out. They're going to want to get something else back for whatever they have left on the contract. So it isn't a total one-to-one. It's not like I think the Nets fans, I can already feel this kind of coursing through their veins, which is Kevin Love's going to look awesome. Cavs will just give him away for nothing. The Nets will sign, you know what I mean? But, like, that's not really how that math works. It's, if he plays really well, Cavs might say, huh, we still got something here. Let's go shop it around. Now, it will be hard to shop because the contract is still kind of crazy high. $31 million for this season, $29 million for next season. Pretty similar to where Blake was in terms of those contracts, right? Now, again, the difference was Blake was doing nothing for that team. And if Kevin Love has something, like buying it out, it's just going to kind of come down to do we want to do right by the guy? Do we want to get value for the guy? I think there's probably something in between. The problem is with trading him, it gets really hard to match that money coming back from another team. Like that, so the, you know, Nets can't really send 75% of $29 million or whatever he would have left on the last year of the contract back in any functional way. So maybe some other teams can, but these are the key differences. So I think it's a recruiting tour for Kevin Love here. Yes, I think the Nets would probably love to have him, even if he played, you know, fine over the course of this thing. And I kind of do want to pump the brakes on Nets fans already putting him in Nets jerseys because they get look, the Nets actual account set out a picture the other day of team building, and it was Pop, it was Kevin Durant, and it was Kevin Love. And I don't think it was just a mistake again, I read you the names of all the guys who had these practices. Like, it did not seem, I'm not going to call it tampering, because it's not, but it's one of those things like, huh, there were probably a lot of pictures that were shot. That is an interesting one to send out from the team account about team building. So I don't know. The whole thing's funny. I love it. This is why NBA is fun to talk about all season long, because, like, this thing, a picture of Kevin Durant and Kevin Love and some quotes can get you talking about how he's going to play the four next year for them as they win a championship.
The guy that runs the social media account, you know, for the Brooklyn Nets, he obviously has his pulse, right? He's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on. He goes, let me just see what I can get here. Ah, Kevin Love. Perfect. Let's get that clip out there. There's a couple of things quick. I think that's just like when we talked about Spencer Dinwiddie the other day, right? And his situation, and just sign and trade him. Just sign and trade him to a team that needs him and get back a great piece in return. Yes, but all the parts, as you highlighted, right? All these parts, the other team, their cap situation, our cap cap situation, the returning money, the assets, all those things have to line up. And there's going to be other teams that are capable of coming to the table with similar, if not better, offers. So that's always going to play a part in anything that goes on here. And I think you're right when you talk about Kevin Love. There's a couple of things that on the Olympic roster I wanted to touch on quickly, but I just noticed while you were talking, I had up the roster. Kevin Love is listed at 6'8". Remember a couple of years ago when the NBA like reset everyone's heights and it was like, hey, listen, knock it off, guys. We're all becoming like 7'3" here. So you got to stop. There was a time, if I'm not mistaken, like Kevin Love was 6'10 at one point. So, I mean, this dude also, like, I know old age steals away a little bit of your length, but I didn't know it happened at 32 because this guy is just shrinking. You know, I'm across this roster. Love is 6'8", Middleton is 6'7", and Jason Tatum is 6'8". These guys are all basically the same height, and that is not the way I perceived them a season and a half ago.
I think Kevin Durant was the only guy who stayed the same height, if I'm remembering this correctly. I didn't know you were going to bring this up, but I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant was the only guy that stayed the same height because he was like 6'11". The whole time, and everyone else would like shoot themselves up by 2 inches, but he didn't want to go over 7 feet. Oh man, I hope I'm not misquoting this. It was like he didn't want to be listed at 7 feet because he thought he was going to play a different position or something like that. So he made sure that they continued to, list him under 7 feet. So
only guy shrinking like himself in the NBA.
Totally, he's like, no, don't put me at 7 feet. I don't want to play the four, you know, or something like that. I want to stay as a small forward or whatever he was playing on OKC. I'm pretty sure that was part of the narrative. But
height aside though, I couldn't get myself away from it. Couple of things. Kevin Love happens to be from Oregon originally. Just something to think about as he's possibly looking at teams that maybe if Dame Lillard is getting himself out of there, maybe Portland wants to bring in a body.
You want to do that? He's a UCLA guy though, like those LA teams.
The ties, the overlapping. You can't see me doing this thing where you intertwine your fingers into one another from each hand to say there's a lot of layers to these. But in the Olympics here, we talk about these games, other players that are going to accomplish something. It's funny. Like, so Dame Lillard, maybe he's not going to be, with the Blazers anymore, but he doesn't have anything to prove. Everyone knows what he is and everybody wants to go get him if they could make it happen. But I do find it interesting. Obviously, Love has a lot to showcase for himself potentially. I think a player like Zach LaVine, Chicago, and what their intentions are. He looked like he had a better year than he had prior in Chicago this past season. But this is an opportunity maybe for him to showcase a different facet of his game that you don't normally see during the regular season when the expectations are, hey, you need to be a ball scorer. You need to be the guy that's the driving force on this roster from getting a bucket standpoint as opposed to facilitating. Draymond Green, who did far more facilitating this past year for the Golden State Warriors at 31 years old, might be saying, well, I need to show that I can still go out and do certain things, knock down perimeter shots. I don't think that he can do that anymore if he ever was that proficient at it. But, it's weird how individuals may look at the Olympics as a different opportunity to show something that intrigues other teams in another way, as opposed to saying, I'm Kevin Durant or I'm Devin Booker. Well, yeah, we know what you're going to be, Bradley Beal. These guys are all established, and it's just a matter of, could I be changing teams? Could I be moving on here? But then you get into some of these subplots where I think guys can change the perception of what their game is and how other teams might be looking at them and saying, hey, if we brought him in, he could not only be a scorer, he could also be someone that runs the offense or could be a defensive anchor, could be more valuable in a different role than we've seen him in the NBA. And there's only a handful of them that this occurs for on the roster as far as the Olympics are concerned, but it's important. And it's interesting how age and status in the league and point in their careers all impact what some of these guys may be looking to accomplish when these games get going at the end of the month.
Yeah, I think at this point in the NBA is such a superstar-driven league that you kind of want to, I think, either show that you are one of the superstars or show that you can play with one of them, right?
Right.
And I think most players, I think, it seems like, these NBA players are really, really aware, seem to understand sort of the pecking order at this point. And, like, that pecking order is really, really important. And I think most players, they all want to elevate their game and stuff like that, but I think most understand sort of, like, the way and the path here is to, ingratiate yourself to this one of these top guys, or like maybe if you feel like you're going to ascend to be that top guy. We always see that happen. Players always kind of, the list always gets shuffled around. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it's why there's not, I don't think there's going to be a lot of like there's not gonna be like a lot of top dog. It's good to have Kevin Durant there. I think most people understand like Kevin Durant is the best player on the team, right? So I think there's I doubt there's any real question marks about that. But the fact that you can see already sort of happening the hierarchy establishing around, you know where guys are, where they land, who can play with who, what you can do. Yeah, no, I think it's gonna be fascinating. I think it's gonna be great. And by all accounts, the early reports out of the Olympic training camp is that these guys are like, everyone's getting along really great, obviously. And Pop's got him going. Pop says all the right stuff. Like he said about Kevin Love, he's like, he's here to shoot over Rudy Gobert. He had a quote about that the other day. He's
right.
Like, he's going to be here because there's no defensive 3 seconds in international basketball. So Gobert can just park himself in the lane. And that actually becomes kind of a problem for driving. He's like, yeah, no, he's here to shoot threes, kind of stretch the floor and see what we're going to do. So I think they're already even establishing sort of this, like what the game plan is going to be. Because I'm pretty sure they have to play France in the group stage. So yeah, it's gonna be fascinating. And yeah, I think that I know for a fact that Nets fans all eyes gonna be on Kevin Durant. Want to see him play well. Want to see what Kevin Love does too. Because I think they're already starting to picture having him in uniform. We're gonna do a green room tonight, 6 p.m. So if you're around, go log in the green room. We'll be talking probably like summing up all the stuff we talked about this week. Talking about some Joe Harris stuff, which we were gonna get to today, but we'll probably end up getting to tomorrow or early next week about what to expect here from Joe Harris. So hop in the green room, 6 p.m. We'll have a good time over there, record part of that for the podcast. Yeah, go check us out at green room, 6 p.m. Thursday evening.
Yeah, and of course you can download and subscribe, listen, wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled across the podcast landscape. We appreciate it. As Doug Norrie has told you, the numbers continue to climb even into the offseason. We really appreciate all the support, and we want to continue to do the content that makes you guys happy. So hopefully when we get into Green Room, we'll get some more positive feedback this evening. Got to remind everybody as well, wrapping up in these next couple of days is going to be the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It's featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. The Locked On NBA local experts will be making selections and trades for all your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event that only has a couple days left to go. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your home for all of the sports, podcast, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. That spells Odyssey. And as these guys are thinking about whether or not to invest their energy in more off-season basketball or investing in improving their games, you dismiss things like this. Watch a sunrise at least once a year. Put a lot of marshmallows in your hot chocolate. Lie on your back and look at the stars. Never buy a coffee table you can't put your feet up on. Never pass up a chance to jump on a trampoline. Don't overlook life's small joys while searching for the bigger ones. H. Jackson Brown Jr., you fool.
Oh my goodness, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.